You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
CITR is powered by Guayaki Yerba Mate. Yerba Mate is a naturally caffeinated drink that comes in a variety of formats, from loose leaf to cans to bottles. Yes, the yellow ones. Guayaki Mate is all organic, non-GMO, and sure to make you come to life. Guayaki is more than just a Yerba Mate brand. They're focused on personal, social, ecological, and cultural growth through their commitment to regenerative practices, which include stewarding the South Atlantic rainforest and partnering with indigenous South American communities through the production of Yerba Mate. Visit guayaki.com, G-U-A-Y-A-K-I.com, to learn more and find this delicious drink near you. Or stop by CITR station on UBC campus for a free Yerba Mate can.
Dreamer Isioma is a multi-genre musician with their sophomore album's new release titled Princess Forever. They're going on the Love and Rage tour with special guests The Celestials and an opening performance by Amindi. They're coming to the Cobalt Theater in Vancouver on May 16th. This is a show you don't want to miss. For tickets and for more information, go to tour.dreamerisioma.com.
Interested in making radio? How about hosting your own show? At CITR, you can make your radio dreams come true by joining a collective. From news, art, sports, to gender empowerment, accessibility, music, and the BIPOC collective, there's definitely something for everyone. Explore new worlds both virtually and at our station, and be prepared to have a blast with some new pals. For more information or to join, please visit citr.ca/get involved.
We all know that the word jazz means many different things to many different people, so check out the real deal on The Jazz Show at CITR 101.9 FM or CITR.ca for live streaming. Yours truly, Gavin Walker, is your host, and I guarantee the straight goods of 3 hours of jazz at its finest. The jazz feature that focuses on a concept, an album, or an individual artist will be heard at the beginning of the show every Monday night, right at 9 p.m., after our opening theme and announcement. So come on by and give your ears a musical workout, 9 p.m. Mondays. Don't miss it.
You're listening to CITR 101.
All right. I always make this error where I would put the station ID at the very end, and then I would lose track, and they would just go loop again. But anyways, welcome back to Lean with Jeff. My name is Jeff, and today I have Randy with me. Thank you for coming. Is it this one?
You're good.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yes. Okay. So I don't know why I can't hear myself. Okay, there we go. Today I will be discussing two movies. Oh, we will be discussing two movies. It's actually, we took a different approach. This headphone is not working at all. Anyways, we took a new approach for this episode where we both chose a rom-com mm-hmm. to talk about. And I chose the rom-com Bad Teacher. And Randy, what did you choose?
I chose Mr. Right.
I have actually never seen Mr. Right. I've stumbled upon it because I am a Sam Rockwell fan. And I think the last time I saw him was in Iron Man. Yeah, that was the only time.
Yeah,
he was in Iron Man.
I don't even remember that.
It's the one where, I think it's the second one, where he comes out as like this rich business guy and he tries to use Tony Stark's idea to like make this new robot or machine. But anyways, I stumbled upon the rom-com. I just thought it wasn't for me because most of the rom-coms that I see are not action. They're mostly like just like two people falling in love.
Yeah.
But this one was a very interesting one. So let's get started. Do you want to start off with Bad Teacher?
Let's start off with Bad Teacher.
Okay. Well, for the start, I think I chose Bad Teacher because it's one of those rom-coms where the romance is not there like explicitly.
Mm.
It's kind of like, I didn't know that the romance part was here, because it doesn't really start off until Cameron Diaz goes back to school
mm-hmm.
to work as a teacher and then meets the gym teacher.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was almost destiny because the gym teacher was always there. She just never realized that he was there, I'm pretty sure. So that's why that buildup in romance is kind of what classifies this movie as a romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a different approach to romance, but it's still kind of like you could still see the chemistry between them as the story goes on.
Right.
Yes. What do you think?
I don't classify this as a rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely get your point that it is like subtle. Also, upon my rewatch this morning, I did kind of like forget that storyline because it is kind of like a smaller plot point.
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of in the background because she initially sets out to win over Justin Timberlake's character because he's rich and she doesn't want to work. She wants a sugar daddy, essentially. Mm-hmm. I think I have two reasons why I don't classify this as a rom-com. My number one is that, like I said, the romance isn't like the main plot. And in most rom-coms, the romance is like the main factor. Like, I remember we talked about Letters to Juliet.
Yeah.
So in that movie, you have kind of like a half and half between like their story of, you know, traveling. But also the romance between the two characters is like right there in every scene, kind of. And then my second and I think my biggest reason is Cameron Diaz in this movie is a terrible person.
Yes.
Like, she is an absolutely awful, atrocious human being.
Yes.
Garbage human being. And she has no redemption arc.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's my other thing, because if you're going to have like a rom-com with like a bad character, like someone who is like morally flawed, you have to do a lot of work to give them a redemption arc so that I buy into that, like, anyone would fall in love with this person and also not be a terrible person. And I think because this movie doesn't have, like, she doesn't actually have character growth.
No.
And so I think it's very hard for me to, like, believe that she's worthy of being loved because she's literally terrible. So anyways.
I actually read an article. What's funny is I didn't catch that when I was watching the movie because I was just focused on the relationship between the gym teacher and Cameron Diaz. And so, they develop this love towards each other, and Cameron soon realizes that, you know, materialistic things aren't, you know, important and whatnot. But she is an absolutely terrible person.
Yeah.
And like you said, now that I just rethink it, did she deserve to be, like, loved by this, like, charming, honest, like, pure-hearted man when she's, like, done these horrible things, not only to herself, but to, like, so many people and, like, so many kids? And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is kind of messed up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that didn't really occur to me until I read this article about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think I get your point too. It's like most rom-coms that I see, there is a clear character development, and you kind of see when Cameron, or not Cameron, when the protagonist realizes what she's been doing wrong, and that shifting point is clear. But the only time I see that is when Cameron realizes, okay, this rich dude is so boring. I want to go for this like cooler dude that's actually fun to hang out with. So in that sense, you don't really see, oh, Cameron realizes what she's been doing and how her moral is like completely wrong. But I don't know. I think you kind of need to see the tip of it and just be like, okay, yeah, two people fall in love. Cameron is no longer a person who just strives for money and guys. But yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think about the comedy aspect of it? Or was it more of like, okay, this is so messed up. She should not be doing this to the students, or like, this is not something to joke about.
Yeah. I personally don't find this movie very funny. I think it is a classic example of a movie written in 2000, whatever, by men. They're like, that's like, let's take this like conventionally very attractive woman and make her do all of these like very funny things. Ha ha ha. And we'll all laugh about it. But like, most of it is super messed. Like the stuff that you're supposed to, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are subtle things that are funny. Like a lot of Jason Segel parts are funny.
I like him.
Like he's like quirky, you know, a little bit funny. Like when they're getting high in the gym, he tries to climb the rope and he's like, I can do it. This is my job. And then he like very epically fails.
Those ones,
that's funny. But the main things that are like supposed to be funny with Cameron Diaz are not, because to me they're like really messed up. And to give some examples, when she drugs, like she drugs multiple people, which is not funny. Like drugging people as a plot point is really awful. And that's like something that I mean, I've never found that funny in movies. And, but yeah, so she drugs the guy, well, she drugs, I forget who the first person is, but she drugs the guy to get the test from him and then takes compromising photos so that she can later blackmail him to get out of her job. She basically gives Amy an allergic reaction with the apple. I'm
poison
not really sure like
yeah,
what
I think
yeah
it's poison ivy,
is yeah. that what it is yeah. yeah. And so just like manipulating people's bodies is so messed up as a character point. But you can tell that they're supposed to be funny, but they're just they're not, because that's so scary. Like drugging is not something that is funny. And I think also it's played as a joke because it's a woman drugging a man. So as a society, we think that's really funny, because the idea of a man being drugged for like worse reasons, such as assault, is so like we treat it as outside of our realm of understanding and realism. But in truth, it's very real and it happens all of the time. Mm-hmm. So it's again, that's not really funny. And then the way she interacts with her teachers also isn't funny to me. And that's for two reasons. Number one is because I have had incompetent teachers before, and it's so frustrating as a student that like legitimately just wants to learn. And I get you're supposed to like, you know, suspend your disbelief for this movie and be like, ha ha ha, like she's such a bad teacher. But in reality, I would report her and get her fired immediately. Like that would be like my mission in life, is to get rid of her. So I kind of get where Amy's coming from. I really do, because she is a truly awful, atrocious teacher.
Yeah.
And then also I think part of her being so like the scene where she's like her like redemption, where she helps a student by giving him her bra.
Okay,
that is like
that one was
it's so, and like it, you can tell that as viewers we're supposed to be like, aw, and I'm like, no, that's disgusting. That's gross. That's awful. Like, that's not what a teacher should do. Like, a teacher is supposed to like talk and like, you know, teach kids. So that was also really weird, and I was like uncomfortable in that moment.
That one, yeah, was a bit weird.
Yeah. So that was, and then also on top of that, the amount of racist humor in this movie is just like this scene where they're meeting, she calls up the guy from the test to talk about racial bias for the exam, which is a real thing. Like there is real evidence of racial bias in standardized testing, and it's like played off as like this really funny joke. I'm like, this is not, and the way they're talking about BIPOC people is just very off.
Yeah. I guess when you say it out loud, it's really messed up. And now that I think of it, it's so weird how, I don't know if it was just me as an audience, but I was rooting for Cameron.
Yeah.
And Amy was the one that was seen as like a demon mm-hmm. and like this like horrible, jealous person. Mm-hmm. But then if you look back, Amy's actually a really good teacher that honors her job and like she's really respectful to the students. But then you know that one kid where like he's like looking at the teacher from the, like in the start of the scene.
Yeah.
This kid with like the long hair, he's yeah. just like looking at her like, oh my God. Like, what is she doing? But then that was kind of meant for, that was like the start of trying to demonize Amy as like this teacher that's yeah. just doing too much yeah. and not really leveling down on like what the kids like. And then I guess like that thing where she gives the bra, it's like, okay, if you're like a young kid, you're like, oh, yay, or like whatever. But like if you look at it, it's like, oh, that's really, yeah. really messed up. But yeah. It was kind of weird. I think, again, it's like something you just like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, I guess you kind of just have to get past, like, the tip of it and just see, like, oh, okay, yeah, Jason Segel and Cameron Diaz end up together in this, like, perfect. Like, they're so perfect for each other. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it wasn't, like, this typical good rom-com choice. Mm. But I think... the reason why I liked it was because it was just so you didn't really need to go to – I think the more deeper you get into it, it's like, oh, this is like really messed up. But, you know, it's one of those where you just like look at it and be like, oh, okay, haha, like boom, and then it's over. Yeah. You know what I mean by that? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's like most comedies that came yeah. out in the 2000s. You can't look any deeper at them. And if you do, there's so many flaws in them. Yeah, like they're not – yeah, once you like look past anything, you're just like – it. They're horrible essentially. Like any – once you apply any critical thinking, they're not very good. But yeah, I – it's definitely not the worst comedy I've ever watched from the 2000s because that was, that's like a hard – that's a pretty high bar to get to the worst comedy. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. When I was watching Bad Teacher, I think the thing – that I was focusing on was just how Cameron is going to change throughout the movie, but then like what is going to have her change it. Cause that was mm-hmm. also a thing that I was looking for. It's like usually in a rom-com, like there's someone else other than the protagonist that acts as an influence that changes the protagonist. Mm-hmm. But in this case, Jason didn't really do anything, or like the gym teacher didn't really do anything other than yeah. like continue to hit on Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
And then later gets her because apparently Justin Timberlake was like this like really boring person. So I'm like, I mean, there's all sorts of ways to fall in love, but this is kind of a very unique way to like have Cameron Diaz find her like soulmate in like this weird way. So I don't know. It was a pretty weird but like just like an easygoing movie to like watch and just be like, okay, yeah, move on. But yeah. I guess we can move on to talking about Mr. Right, which I'll start off by saying, do you think action and romance or action and rom-com is a good combination, or do you think it kind of gives it more of like a – it kind of lessens the degree of romance, I guess.
I really like it because I think that I really like romance and I like action and I get really bored if action movies don't have romance. I'm like the opposite. I remember in high school or something, we were reading this book. I literally couldn't tell you what it was called. But one of the male characters was talking about how he despises action movies that have romance in them. And I was like, I'm the opposite. And I wrote a book review and I talked about how annoying this character was because he didn't like action movies with romance, whereas like I love them. Like my biggest beef with James Bond is they always kill the woman in them, which is like a whole nother problem. But anyways, I am a romantic, so I seek out all romance parts. I also think it's really interesting because I think it can be a great like side plot in a romance movie, because just like the best type of romance movie rom-com is when you have a secondary plot, right? Mm-hmm. So in the Letters to Juliet movie, the plot is the road trip around Italy to find so-and-so's long-lost love, right? So that's, like, kind of a quest they're on to find someone. I'm trying to think of, like, another example from a rom-com. Oh, The Proposal, right?
So, oh, my God, I love that movie.
Yeah, so you have, like, the fake, so that's, like, a fake engagement yep. trope. And the kind of side plot is them going to his family and, like, all of the chaos that ensues when they're at, like, his family. So, like, a secondary location.
What about Set It Up?
Yeah, Set It Up is the same way, right? Yeah. So they're come together and their romance blossoms through trying to set their bosses up mm-hmm. in a relationship. So anyways, like all of these types of movies, so I think action can be something a little bit different. And I think it also can reach like a wider variety of people interested in movies like that because it offers like something a little bit different.
Yeah, I think like we said, like Set It Up, or The Proposal, I think I really like those rom-coms where the two characters would meet each other from the start and then with no intention of falling in love, they start to work on something that's completely like out of that genre.
Yeah.
But then later on develops this like mm-hmm. relationship of liking each other. But is that action though? Or is that like kind of, I don't know, because for this movie, I don't really watch a lot of, like, these real, like, action, like, shooting and, like, fighting movies because I think I don't know. I have a hard time mushing together, like, this, like, soft, lovey-dovey thingy into, like, this violent, like, action scene.
Yeah.
But I think they did a pretty well job just because what was her name again?
Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, she ends up being a really good killer, too.
Yeah.
At the end?
Yeah.
Which I found really cool. I think I love that they added that in.
Yeah. No, I think this movie, I mean, I wish because I feel like if I use the word campy, people are going to be like, it's not. And I know it's not camp because I don't. But it's like, it's kind of quirky. I don't really know what word to describe, but it's very different.
Yeah.
Like when the first time I watched this movie, I had no idea what to expect. But I was like, oh, Anna Kendrick and Sam Rockwell. I'm going to watch this movie. And I was like, impressed. I was like, this is really cool. But I think people would, if you don't go into it with an open mind, a lot of the scenes are very like lame, quote unquote, because like they're very exaggerated, right? They have like slow motion fight scenes.
Yeah.
Like the idea that she just automatically can fight really well
yeah.
and has like this secret power that Sam Rockwell's character also has where he can see things in motion so he can sense where they are. Like it's all quite ridiculous, but I think that's why it's so good because
yeah.
it's presenting you with this absolutely hilarious narrative where you're like, this is all very ridiculous, but it's so funny and it's so entertaining because, and also it's like a insta-love movie, right? They go on one date, right?
Yeah.
These people have been on one date and all of a sudden they're so in love. I also love that as like a romance lover because I think that's like the most outrageous thing you can have that you have to suspend every ounce of disbelief because, you know, people don't fall in love with in one day. No offense to people out there, but I don't think that happens. So yeah, I think it becomes this very kind of like magical thing. And I think also like this movie would be best if, you know, fans who like action or like even darker romances, right? Because he is an assassin, right? She's literally
yes.
dating an assassin,
yeah.
which, you know, but it's played kind of like, not for laughs, but it sort of is, right? Because he's kind of this, like, dark humor assassin, which I really like because I love dark humor.
I think it was more funny because he was he was an assassin, but he had morals.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? I'm an assassin,
yeah.
but I'm a good assassin.
Yeah, I'm not going to kill people anymore. I'm going to kill the people
who hire
me to kill people, which is just, like, again, like, it's so ridiculous. Like, I applaud the writers of this movie because it is very inventive. Like, if you would have been, like, write an action, like, an action romance, this is not what I would have come up with. But I think that's why it's so amazing, because you just don't see it coming.
Yeah, I honestly think that this movie is more funny than Bad Teacher, just because, I mean, the thing that I loved was how honest Sam was.
Yeah.
the beginning. He's like, oh, yep, I was in the parking lot, I just killed someone.
Yeah.
And she's like, haha, really? Like,
yeah.
She thought it was a joke, but he was so open.
Yeah.
And he was honest with her from the start.
Yeah.
And it was just so funny how, you know, just she was just, okay, yeah. And then
yeah.
later on, how fast she recovered from seeing him kill someone.
Yeah,
in she's... the car. She's like, you know what? I can't deal with this. And then a couple like hours later or whatever, yeah, she's like, let's do this. You know, yeah. I'm with you.
He shows up. She's like, let's do this. And like, yeah, when the quote unquote fake FBI agent comes to like catch him, she's like, oh, this is so bad. And then he shows up at her house and she's like, I'm so happy. And then they just start making out. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, you recovered from that really well.
Yeah, you know, I actually couldn't understand that fake FBI until like the later end. So just to like clarify, he and Sam Rockwell worked together in his like original assassin job.
Yeah, and he trained Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, and then when Sam Rockwell left, he wanted to have him back. He wanted to take him back.
I don't want to say, like, just no right off the bat, but I think it's more that he wanted to kill him because he knew all of, like, the agency that they both worked for, they wanted him gone, Sam Rockwell's character, he knew everything, right? He knew all of the secrets. He knew all of,
It the secrets of their like, organization?
Yeah. Oh, I see. So it's like a spy. Like, a spy can't just leave their organization.
That's true.
Because they know everything.
That's kind of scary, too. It's like a huge commitment that you have to take to be in that kind of job.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, there's a lot of ridiculous things in this movie where it's like, okay, this is super. But it is what makes this movie so good.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the times I like to watch rom-com movies that are a bit more like realistic, I guess. Mm-hmm. Instead, like this one was pretty like One Day Love.
Yeah, this is absolutely not realistic.
Like Okay with Murder. you know, Good Assassin. Yeah. You know? But do you tend to like movies that are kind of like totally ridiculous? Or, you know, movies such as, I guess The Proposal is so much more realistic. I guess, you know, they go on a trip, fake marriage, but then, you know, he ends up, calling the marriage off. And then
she calls it off.
Oh, she calls it off. Yes. And then
that's her redemption arc.
Yes, that is. I like that movie. Actually, it's a pretty wholesome movie. I think Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds is such a good
match. Yeah, they have really good chemistry. Yes,
they have really. But yeah.
I think I go back and forth. Like I enjoy both. As a very prolific romance reader, I read a lot of romance novels, which means I read every subgenre. Oh my gosh. Every subgenre in romance. Like I read alien romance, I read supernatural romance, I read billionaire romance, I read action romance, rom-coms, like literally kind of every genre, right? So I think I enjoy both. I sometimes want to sit down and watch a movie, you know, like Letters to Juliet, which is just so sweet, right? It's so sweet. And then sometimes I want to watch something more like Mr. Right, right? Where it's a lot more like elaborate, very out of this world, very like fantastical kind of, and be entertained that way. So I would say like I'm both.
Yeah. I think when I start to see these romance movies where a lot of the things are just super, like, unrealistic, but also, like, very just, like, completely out of the line,
mm-hmm.
I think I focus more on, okay, how is that possible? I guess when I say realistic, it has to be more in, like the arc of where I'm at, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, falling in love in, like, a bar in like a couple hours and then going on a couple dates and like doing that. I guess that's more realistic than like being an assassin and then you just go to like a gas station and you just see this woman. You're like, oh my God, who is she? And then like that moment they just go on a date. It's like you had no other plans.
You have nothing.
Like not even exchanging numbers.
She doesn't have a job. Like what? I mean, that's super fair. I think so much of watching movies is, like, what mood you're in. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some movies are just bad. My friend and I this weekend watched the new movie Ghosted on
Apple. I've heard of it.
Apple. It's awful. Awful. Is it? One out of five stars. So it's about – well, it has Chris Evans in it, which I didn't know he was that bad of an actor, but apparently he is. But he basically plays this guy that meets this woman and falls instantly in love with her. And then she ghosts him, and he proceeds to send her several messages that she ignores, And then he decides, first of all, okay, so he left something with her. I forget what it was. And so she, and it has a tracker on it. So she tracks her. He tracks her to London and flies there to meet her as a romantic gesture. And then it turns out she is a spy for the CIA, and he gets embroiled in this whole plot. So it's supposed to be like an action rom, like an action rom-com, action comedy romance. And then so they ensue. First of all, it's like 2 hours long, which is so unnecessary.
That's a long rom-com.
And second, they have zero chemistry. I forget the actress in it. I forget her name.
Isn't she the one that came out in Jumanji?
Is that her? Is that the same person?
I think it is.
I did not make that connection. I recognized her, but I didn't know what she was from.
Yeah, I think she came out in Jumanji. We'll see. Okay, for some reason, I don't know why if you type it in the computer, the name is not coming up. Let's try and go to Wikipedia here. It's a romantic adventure written by, stars Chris Evans and Ana de Armas.
Yeah.
Ana de Armas. Let's see. Never mind.
I don't think it's her.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's her either. She seemed very... Nope, she isn't. Yeah.
Yeah. No, she's been... But anyway, she's like a relatively well-known actress, I think. But yeah, and also they make her wear a wig, which was so funny to me because, first of all, it's a terrible wig.
The whole movie or...
Yeah.
Oh, the whole movie?
Yeah.
How did you realize it was a wig?
Because you could tell. It was awful. Oh, it was awful.
No.
But it was so funny because I was watching it with one of my friends. And so we're watching it. And I immediately was like, that's a terrible wig. And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, she's wearing a wig. And he's like, no, she's not. And I was like, yes, she is. And so I pointed out like all of the things you can tell. Like, you know, you can tell that like her hair has this weird bump kind of in the back. So it looks like it has a lot of volume versus like her hair is kind of more thin like mine and real life. And then second is the part. So like a person's natural hair part is more like you can see more skin, but when you get a wig, the part is like fully filled. So a lot of people will remove individuals' hairs to make the part bigger so it looks more natural. And I'm not an expert, but I'm pretty sure, like, I would bet a lot of money on the fact that she's wearing a wig. And so I was pointing all this stuff out. And then for the rest of the movie, he was so upset because he's like, now I can't get it out. I cannot see it. And it's so distracting because sometimes it's worse than others. Like, sometimes it's like they were in a rush, so they just put it on her head. They didn't do anything. I don't know what Apple was doing. It's like they spent all of their budget on the show they made about football in Europe, Ted Lasso. It's like they spent every ounce of good writing and money on Ted Lasso, and now they're just like putting out whatever they put out. And anyways, I looked it up. Also, this movie is written by like 4 middle-aged white dudes.
Dexter Fletcher, Rhett Reese, Paul Wernick, and Chris McKenna. Yeah. And Eric Sommers.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I don't remember their names, but I did look them all up. So it's just all in all. Anyway, so I don't know what my point initially was by bringing up this movie. Oh, yeah, that some movies are just bad. But I think it can also be, like, what movie you're in the mood for.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, when we were trying to pick other movies to watch, how we ended up watching this is because my friend suggested a Wes Anderson movie, and I was like, I am not in the mood to think about anything. So, to me, this is the type of movie, like, Mr. Right and, like, even Letters to Juliet, right? Like a more upbeat movie, even if it might, you know, not involve, you know, or you could critically think about it. But anyways, more upbeat that you just kind of watch it and it just like you passively, you know, you like you take in what's happening, but you're not like taking it in any further. It's just kind of you're seeing it and then it's gone.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
I think most rom-coms should be like that because the more you think of it, the more, I guess, flaws you're going to find.
Yeah.
And so then the romance slowly just drifts away and you're just more focused into. But anyways, what you said about the chemistry, I think chemistry makes the rom-com.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you can't see the chemistry between the two characters, it's a total no-go. I don't care how good the storyline is. And when you said that the chemistry, it would be so weird, especially in this kind of plot, for Ghosted for the chemistry not to work, because that just immediately makes Chris Evans just like a total creep. And did that happen?
No, they have like absolutely, I'm not even exaggerating, they had zero chemistry.
It's like, from the start.
Watching it, yeah, watching it was painful. He was just like this creepy dude who followed her. Okay, so to put it in perspective, I watched this movie, Meet Cute, which is a very dark romance.
I saw
movie.
That.
Have you watched it?
I just
it?
Saw that a couple days ago.
Me too. I watched it yesterday on the ferry. It's wild.
It's
definitely not a rom-com. Like,
I don't think it is either. It was very weird.
Yeah, it's like a dark, basically drama.
It's with Pete Davidson, right?
Yeah. They had more chemistry.
They did.
I didn't know Pete Davidson was capable of having chemistry with anyone.
He
honestly did really well in that movie.
I love Pete Davidson.
And I mean, what's her name? Haley.
I watched that too. I liked it until she got a bit too, like, obsessed with, like, I just want to relive this date. And I'm like, okay, why? Like, I just couldn't see the point. Like, why can't she just enjoy that date and just move on? I don't know why she was – what she was so afraid of.
Because
it was just so good. Like, they were doing so well. And the more, like, more and more dates they were going on, like, the same ones, the more she was getting – she was basically boring herself.
Yeah.
It was just – I don't know. I was just so disappointed. And again, the cast does not come out. I don't know why. I don't know. It was a really, I don't think it really was a rom-com. It was more of kind of, the girl kind of figuring herself out.
Yeah. It's more of like a dark kind of, Kaylee even like a thrill.
Kaylee
Cuoco. I don't.
Yes.
Anyways, I don't. She's great. If you ever, great TV show is The Flight Attendant. She's in that. It's like this. It's like a dark kind of movie. So good. Or TV show. So good. But also, I think Set It Up. You've seen it, right? Like Glenn Powell and I looked up their names. Haley.
I love them.
Or Zoe. Zoe Dutch.
They good.
They have amazing chemistry, and I think that's why that movie, which is so ridiculous, is so good.
Yep.
Because their chemistry is. Like, it works. And I think, to me, that's, like, it's very frustrating, because if you're going to spend money making a movie, the least you could do is make sure that your two lead actors get along and like each other. Like, it's, like, I don't, like, do, I don't, I've never casted for a movie, but I thought part of it was getting them to read together and figuring out if they have chemistry. And apparently I'm wrong, because they definitely didn't do that for Ghosted. Because I, with zero movie experience ever casting, I could have told you within a split second that they don't.
Do you think the chemistry is determined by, like, you kind of tell when they're reading it to each other, or is it by the characters that they played in the, like, in their previous movies? Because that's how I kind of know if their chemistry matches. Because, for example, the reason why I loved Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock's chemistry is because Sandra is always most likely the person who's, like, a bit more mature. She knows what she's doing, kind of this, like, straight, like, this person who, you know, is like an adult. But Ryan Reynolds is kind of all over the place, and he kind of goofs around a lot. And I guess that balance between them when they're together is just so good. And the fact that you can kind of see the mature side of Ryan Reynolds while when he is with Sandra Bullock is what kind of makes, okay, they're really good together. But yeah, that's how I kind of determine, oh, okay, if these two actors are going to be good together or if they're not. I mean, I can't even imagine the chemistry between Chris Evans and, what's her name? Rhett, I believe that's how you pronounce her name. Apologies if it's not. But the first thing that, you know, that pops up in my head whenever I see a rom-com and Chris Evans is Captain America?
Yeah. Like,
I thought he was with her, like the 70s.
With Peggy, yeah.
Yeah, like what happened with them, you know?
And I think it truly is, like, because he, don't get me wrong, Chris Evans has done, he did a movie called What's Your Number with Anna Faris. It is also a ridiculous rom-com. Also, Anna Faris is, I don't really know what happened, but she did some stuff. But yeah, I remember being all right. I haven't seen it in like a number of years. but he did good. They had decent chemistry. So I don't believe that Chris Evans is incapable of having chemistry with someone else. Yeah. But I do think maybe him playing Captain America so much, maybe it's messed it up.
It has.
Because he, and I think it also doesn't work because he's not like a jokester.
No.
Like he's more like, so in What's Your Number, he's like a playboy. He's like her next door neighbor, and this was before Captain America.
Oh, okay.
But he is like, you know, he sleeps around, and like the reason they meet is because he hides in her apartment because this girl shows up that he slept with that won't leave. I don't know. It's a ridiculous movie. But anyways, they have decent chemistry. But I don't think in Ghosted, because he's not a spy, so he's supposed to be like,
it's like regular civilian.
Yeah. And he doesn't do it well. It's like he overcompensates too much and I just don't buy it. So I think they could have casted it better. But yeah, what do I know? I've never casted a movie. Maybe they should hire me because clearly I'm better at it than they are.
You know, it's just so weird. I feel like it's just an intuitive thing where like, oh, you kind of know if these two actors and actresses like are going to be good together.
Yeah.
Because that's also like, there's two things that I look at when I'm choosing a movie to watch. First, I read the plot summary,
mm-hmm.
and then I look at the actresses and the actors and see like, oh, it's just so weird. And every time I get it right, I just like the movie based on that. I don't know why. It's just maybe it's just like a self-preference. It's like you kind of know if it's going to work out or not.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I can see that. And I think, I mean, also it works out better if like it's a good actor.
Yeah.
Right? Because then they're able to like play the part. But if they are the type of actor that sort of plays the same character over, like Ryan Reynolds, right? He always plays like a jokester kind of. So, you know, that it's a pretty good judgment to be like, oh, he's in this movie, like therefore his chemistry, you know, in this character might work well with this other person like Sandra Bullock, who typically plays kind of like the same character. I think it is kind of intuitive, and it also can be like a preference thing. Like based on what you look for in like an on-screen relationship. I definitely think there is a point that you get to if you watch enough rom-coms where it is kind of like intuitive that you can tell whether or not these people are going to have chemistry and they're going to be good together. This movie did not, because it was also supposed to be kind of like enemies to lovers, because she's like very mad at him for coming to London, and then he's mad that she lied about being a spy. So they're kind of like at odds with each other while they're trying to stay alive because all of these people are trying to kill him because she's a spy. And it's that just like their bickering just doesn't work. Like everything they say, like everything he would say, I was like, oh my gosh, you're so mean. Like, that's not the word I would use, but I'm talking on the radio. But
yeah.
I'm sure you can insert what word I would use. But he's just not, he's not a chill dude. Like, he's not funny. Whereas, like, I think Ryan Reynolds in, like, The Proposal, for example, their bickering is so good.
Yes.
Like, it's so funny. It's so on point. And you can tell that, like, they might have animosity, but, like, under that, they actually, like, carry. Like, it's just,
Yes.
And I think that's also part of writing. Like, a lot of the lines, I like how this episode just turned into me.
Yeah.
Just complaining about totally, Ghosted. Yeah. It ruined our night. Because I was like, right? Like, when you go in and you watch a movie that you think is going to be good, and then you're like, well, we're too far into it to know if it's going to be bad. So then you keep watching it. And then all of a sudden you've wasted 2 hours watching this movie. I think a lot of the writing in it was sloppy. Like, it was when they tried to do like bickering and like banter and stuff, it came out as like very like sort of lazy, like what, like every kind of like line you would expect to be in like a bickering scene, and be like, you don't, like something about communication, you don't communicate, or
it's like the type of gossip that you don't want to hear.
It's kind of just, it's boring.
I think the thing about Chris Evans that kind of ruined it is how in love he was with the girl that he was on a date with when he was Captain America. Like Ryan Reynolds and all those characters that play like this, like Adam Sandler, that play like this similar, very, you know, like this, I guess, generalized character that all the time, it doesn't really ruin it that much, as long as they don't have like this lover or like this like serious thing in that movie. And I think that just kind of keeps popping up in my head when, like, Chris Evans with a different person. But anyways, we're getting into Chris Evans a bit too much. I do want to talk about this other movie that is not classified, that I think is totally not classified as a rom-com.
Okay.
I think that should just be our topic in this show. It's like movies that are classified as rom-coms and movies that do not classify. Anyways. This movie?
That's the only genres that exist in movies. Yeah. Movies that are rom-coms and movies that are not
rom-coms. That is it. You're either a rom-com or you're not a rom-com. But this movie called About Time. Have you seen it?
About Time.
It's about this guy. I don't want to spoil it too much, but it's about this guy.
I'm never going to watch it.
Okay. Well.
If I haven't watched it by now, I'm not going to go back.
It's about this guy that has this superpower that all of the males have in his family line where they can go back in time whenever they please.
Mm.
But the thing is, if you have a kid or whatever, if you go back in time, your kid might not, like, it might be a different kid just because. You know, like, there's just different possibilities of, like, that same, like, little sperm, like, going into. So that's different. But other than that, you can get back, like, anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so basically how he falls in love is it's basically rigged. So he goes back in time to that same date or whatever and then, like, tries to, like, win over this girl.
Mm.
And I feel like I don't know if that's. Like, how do you know if that's, like, true love and, like, you just didn't...
Yeah,
it's almost like Meet Cute, where it's, like, she goes back...
but Meet Cute knows that it's messed up. That's, like, the point of the movie is that it's, like, a dark movie because she is literally super messed up and she has, like... Yeah, she's manipulating him.
She is. And this one, it's kind of, like, every, like, mistake, I guess, he makes, from what I remember, he just repairs it by going back in time and, like, almost, like, forms himself into this, like, perfect guy. But he's not, like, a bad guy. It's just, I don't know. So the kind of movies where you mess up with, like, time and, like, going back to your mistakes, okay, that's just a bit too much because that just takes away from the fact that you guys are, like, meant for each other or you guys like each other for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Meet Cute is better because later they realize, like, both of them, Pete Davidson, I don't even know how
it's like the very last time tells him.
Yeah.
And he finally starts to, like, listen, but he's also getting a lot of deja vu because he's relived the same date over a year.
I know.
So more than 365 days. So he obviously, like, his brain in this movie, he's not remembering stuff, but he's, like, getting recollection, like, more deja vu, which you find out as you're watching the movie because he'll start to say things that she would say. And then she's, like, very confused because she's like, you should know that. But, like, you know.
Do you think that they would have been better as just friends?
I don't think they both need a lot of therapy. I don't know. I don't think they should be in each other's lives at all.
You know
I think
what?
They
yeah.
should go get therapy. But yeah, I, as, like, a general rule, I struggle to like time travel at all, but I really don't like time travel when it's with romance because for exactly the reason you're saying, it really becomes super manipulative. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I didn't mind the movie Meet Cute because it clearly is a dark drama. Yeah. Like, it's not a rom-com. It's, like, it kind of is a romance, I guess, but, like, not in, like, a sweet lovey-dovey way. And they acknowledge how messed up it is that she's manipulating their story. Yeah, so I didn't mind that much. But yeah, as a general rule, as soon as you incorporate romance and time travel, I'm not going to watch it, which is exactly the reason why I've never watched this movie and I never will.
Yeah.
Because it will just creep me out.
It's
even like the movie 50 First Dates with Adam Sandler.
Oh, yes.
It's like the same type of thing where she has amnesia. So I think she forgets every day. So they have the same date over and over. Like, it's just, it's so, any sort of, like, relationship where one person remembers something and the other person doesn't, it's such a power imbalance. And whenever it's the man doing it, it's just like this weird, I don't know. It's very off-putting. Actually, there's a video essay. I haven't watched it yet, but it's on my to-watch list on YouTube talking about how messed up time travel and romance is. So I'll send it to you after
this
episode, and maybe we can watch it. But
honestly, we should. We should talk about that. Because that is a huge thing about, like, if you go into different branches of rom-coms, or it's like action rom-com, time travel rom-com, like, hate to enemy, not hate to enemy, enemies to love. But now that you mentioned 50 First Dates, I actually was really sad when the movie, like, about the movie, just because she couldn't. I always had this hope, like, okay, her amnesia's gonna get better, but it didn't. And then if you think about it, it's only like a one-sided thing, but then I feel like that's all compensated from, like, them having a kid. I don't even know how they got a kid. Like, it's right. It's like, what happened? It's like every single day she just comes out, like, she just remembers her, like, belly getting bigger. I don't know. That's the thing.
Yeah,
don't
get deeper. That is, that's really weird.
It's super weird. It's like, who did this to me? Like, you know, like, it's and then he has to make, like, this whole video to, like, help her understand where she's at.
Yeah. I also am firmly in the camp where I find everything Adam Sandler does is creepy, but I know that not everyone's like that. So
yeah, it's it's,
but I think he's just, he's done so much that he can't work it back for me.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like now Adam Sandler's taking a different approach. I don't think he's going to be doing a lot of rom-coms.
Well, didn't he win, like, a... Did he win an Oscar or something?
For a rom-com?
No. He did, like, a...
Oh, is it Murder Mystery?
No. No. I think that's also supposed to be a rom-com, Jeff.
Oh, what?
I'm going to look it up.
I thought it was just an adventure, because there is no rom-com, because him and Jennifer Aniston is already together.
Wait, so that's another question. Do you think you can have rom-coms with married couples?
Wow. Okay, so a lot of the rom-coms that I think... Oh my goodness, that's a hard question, because why am I, like, thinking, no, if the romance is already there, then it cannot be a rom-com, but then it technically is, because there's still romance. I think for me, rom-com, like, the romance part is, like, developed. It's, like, brought into the movie instead of it already being there. So, I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't have as much fun watching a rom-com where they're already together than a rom-com where they don't know each other, but they later on, or maybe they're friends, and they later on develop this, like, love relationship. What do you think? Do you think...
I'm trying to find if he won an award. A movie can be classified
as a rom-com if the romance already exists?
I think it can, because I think it applies the same logic. Obviously, you don't have, like, the meet-cute trope and stuff, but I think it can then be, like, you can have a second-chance romance. And, like, really, a rom-com is just romance with comedy. So... Like, a true, like, you can have a romance movie, and then as soon as you add some comedy, some jokes, then you get the rom-com. There's obviously more that goes into that. I know that. But I think you can, and I've seen some good ones that I literally can't think of right now, but I will let you know. Because I think it can be sweet. Like, if you're on, like, you know, if you're kind of, like, maybe you're separated, right? The couple starts out separated, so they've been married. True. And then they, like, through the movie, they grow, like, closer and go back together. But yeah, I think it can work if it's done well.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like, on the verge of divorce, but they end up not getting divorced. Like, 17 Again.
Yes, I don't remember a lot about that movie. That's basically about that. I can believe that.
But anyways, this was a very interesting chat that went into different directions, but I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I hope we can talk about time travel and rom-com. And I'll see if I can gather up some time travel rom-com movies, and then we can discuss
those. And I'll send you that video essay.
Yes.
We can get, like, super technical.
Yeah,
we should do that. As opposed to just, like, talking about her opinions.
Yeah, analyzing. but anyways, it is a beautiful day outside, so I hope everyone gets out and enjoys the sun. And that is it for today's episode. Thank you so much, Randy, for coming out.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
I hope to see you all next week. Bye-bye, everyone.